take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter number 15. This is a extremely sad and it's a sobering portion of God's Word, but it's also at the same time very instructive to us. And I believe it can really help us. If you need a handout, lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will be glad to give you one this morning. Lift it up real high if you did not receive a handout. There's verses on there that we'll look at. So even if you're not going to take notes, there are verses there for you to look at with us this morning. There was a man that was the king of God's people. His name was King Saul. And he was the very first king of the nation of Israel, which they were God's people in the Old Testament. And Saul began very humble and very obedient. He started out really good. But last week in chapter 14, we began to see some warning signs in King Saul. We saw a spirit of arrogance developing in him. He began to get very prideful. We saw him hesitant to commit to the things of God. We saw a man who was legalistic. He got involved in legalism. He was trying to live the Christian life by a set of rules, religious rules, instead of a relationship with God. And he did not have a walk with the Lord. Unfortunately, even though those warning signs were there, Saul did not heed the warning signs. Bring something up on the screen here. That's a stop sign. Now, we all know what that is. And you know the purpose of a stop sign. The purpose of a stop sign is to get you to what? Boy, we got some smart folks in this church, I tell you. We all know about stop signs. And they're there to help you to know you need to stop. And you need to pay attention. Now, what if you go blasting through stop signs on a regular basis? Okay, now we'd all be lying to say we've never gone through a stop sign. Okay, I mean, we probably all have occasionally here or there. Maybe we had an emergency or we're going to the hospital or maybe we were in a hurry and, you know, no excuse, but we did and different things. Maybe we didn't see it. But what if you make it a habit of blasting through stop signs? Your attitude is, man, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care that there's a stop sign. Doesn't mean anything to me. I'm going to do what I feel like doing. I don't feel like stopping. And what if you live your life that way on a regular basis? You're going to end up what? You're going to end up like this, right? That's what you're going to end up like. You're going to end up in a wreck. Or you're going to end up in the hospital. Or maybe even worse. Because eventually, you keep barreling through stop signs without looking. Would you agree with me that eventually it's gonna catch up with you, right? You're going to end up in trouble. Well, man, King Saul was just blasting through stop signs. Saul's downfall, we're going to read about it here in this chapter. And Saul's downfall, that's what he ended up like, just like that picture. And you know what? Here's the deal. It wasn't because of a military loss. It wasn't because of a political scandal. It wasn't because of an internal insurrection within his government. You ever heard the expression, he's his own worst enemy? Have you ever heard that? Well, that's King Saul in a nutshell. That was King Saul. He was his own worst enemy. Saul, in this chapter, just to kind of give you a quick recap, I'm going to kind of recap verses 1 through 8. Let's read verse 1. I think that's important. We can go ahead and take the picture down now, Debbie. It says in verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul. Remember, Samuel is the prophet in Israel. He's the spiritual leader. Saul is the political leader. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. We read about that many chapters back, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Man, you need to listen to what God's about to tell you, Saul. So then Samuel begins to say, okay, here's what God wants you to do. God wants you to go and he wants you to destroy the Amalekites. Who are they? The Amalekites are a group of people. They were kind of wanderers, a wandering type of nation. They did have a land area, but they were very wicked, very pagan, very heathen people, very violent people. In fact, they had come against Israel when Israel came out of the land of Egypt. Remember when God set Israel free from the Egyptian bondage? The Amalekites tried to destroy Israel when they were very vulnerable. So these were very wicked, violent, pagan, heathen people. God said, Judgment Day has finally come for this nation. And so God was going to use King Saul and Israel as an instrument to bring divine judgment upon the Amalekites. He told Saul, he said, Saul, I don't want you taking any of their stuff. I don't want you to take any of their silver, gold, any of their animals. I want you to destroy every bit of it. I don't want you to take any of it for yourself. That was God's instructions. Destroy completely. Do not take any of their stuff for yourself. Well, you know, when Saul ends up coming out of the battle, they won the battle, but he comes out of the battlefield and he's got the king of Amalek with him. He spared his life when he wasn't supposed to do it. King Agag was his name. So he's got Agag. Not only that, look at verse 9. It says, but Saul and the people spared Agag, and notice what else they spared. The best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So King Saul, man, the guy just decides, you know what? I think I know best. I think I have a better plan than God. I believe I'll just go ahead and do it my way. Well, in this chapter, King Saul here, he loses his throne due to his own rebellious heart. He's his own worst enemy. Look at verse 23 when Samuel comes and confronts him. Samuel says to him in verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. He said, you know what, man? He said, you are rebellious. Now, what does that mean if I rebel? Well, to rebel just means to disobey. I'll give you an example. In the Bible, we're going to use an example we all understand. That's an example of kids with their parents. Okay? I'm going to bring up a verse from Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a, now notice the two words, stubborn and what? Rebellious son. Now the Bible is going to define for you what that is, which will not what? Obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. He won't listen. Stubborn and rebellious. What does that mean? Means you won't obey. Means the kid won't listen. Now, let's apply that to us and God. If we rebel against God, which is what Saul did, in your handout, it says to rebel against God simply means to reject and disobey God's word. If I rebel against God, that means I look at God's word and I say, you know what, God, I think I know better than you. I believe I'll do it my way. Oh, I know your word says that drunkenness is a sin, but I'm gonna go out and get drunk anyway. Oh, I know the Bible says that I shouldn't commit sex before marriage, but you know what, God, I believe I got a better plan than you. I'll do it anyway. Oh, I know the Bible says that I shouldn't be full of greed and that I shouldn't be covetous, and that I shouldn't love the things of this world. But you know what, God? I think I will anyway, because I think I know better. That's rebellion. It's to disobey God's word. It's to reject and disobey the word of God. Notice how that is a recurring theme here. Look at verse 19. Okay, let's look at a few verses. Verse 19. Samuel says to Saul, wherefore then didst thou not, look at this, obey the voice of the Lord? Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Notice, because thou hast rejected, what did Saul reject? He rejected the word of the Lord. Okay, look down at verse number 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected. Come on, talk to me. What did he reject? The word of the Lord. Stubbornness is associated with rebellion. Look up at verse 23. Look at it. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and what's the next word there? Stubbornness. We got any stubborn people in here today? Stubborn. Stubborn is an old camp mule, right? Stubborn is a Missouri mule, as they say. I'm from Missouri, so I can say that. Stubbornness is associated with rebellion. Do you know why? I want you to think about it. Stubbornness is associated with rebellion. Now, why is that? Here's why. Because outward rebellion always begins with a heart of self-will and stubbornness. We want our way. Look with me in your handout. Psalm 78, verse 8 in your handout. God said, "It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their what?" Notice it began in the heart. "They set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Look up at the screen in Isaiah 65, verse 2. God said, "I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people," speaking of Israel. And then he says, "which walketh in a way that was not good." Here's the key. This is what it means to be rebellious and stubborn. He said they were walking after their own thoughts. That's what it means. Stubborn. Man, we want our way. I know what you said, God. I know what your word said. I know, but I want my way. And Paul's stubborn, self-willed, rebellious heart cost him everything he had. But you know what? Before we're too hard on him, I think there's some King Saul in all of us. What do you think? The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." You know what? I think there's some King Saul in me. I think there's some King Saul in you. All of us, in our natural carnal state, we're bent towards rebelling against God. Man, we just kind of want to blaze our own trail. We want to leave God in the dust while we do our thing. But may this text challenge us and convince us that we must keep ourselves from rebellion against God. Why? Well, Saul's going to teach us some great lessons here about why we need to keep ourselves from rebellion against God. Why we need to, you know, when you hear a Bible message, when you hear me preach, or you hear another a brother teach, or you are in a life group and you hear someone teach, or whatever it may be, or you're reading the Bible on your own, boy, you need to listen. You need to listen. You need to heed. You need to hearken. You need to not rebel and be stiff-necked and stubborn. You need to have a tender heart to just receive it. And man, if it rings our bell, you know what? Answer the door. Amen? Amen. Just answer the door and say, "Yes, God, I am guilty. Yes, that is me. Yes, I am stubborn. Yes, I am. I want my way." And we just need to answer the door and say, "God, yes, you rung my bell, God, and that's me." Whatever it may be in our life, we just need to have a tender heart towards God and not have a rebellious heart. Number one, why? Well, number one, because our rebellion grieves the heart of God. It grieves the heart of God. Now, you know, Satan, the devil, the Bible says that Satan, the devil, he was once the anointed cherub of God. That's right, he was on God's side. He was a created creature of God that was given a position of authority, and he was to protect the holiness of God. And Satan, of course, fell, but what led to his downfall? You say, well, what led to his downfall was, Pastor Dan, he sinned. No, no, no. That's not what led to his downfall. He did not fall because he sinned. He fell because of a rebellious heart against God's authority. Sinning was a mere product of his inward rebellion. You see, the sinning was a product of the rebellious heart that he had. And that's why Samuel told Saul what he did when he said, "Listen, man, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." When we violate God's authority in our life, we are operating under the satanic principle of rebellion, and God cannot be pleased. Now, it's interesting that when Samuel comes and he confronts Saul, Saul had this thing figured out. Man, I mean, he had it all reasoned out. Look at verse number 15. I'm going to show you what Saul said. Here was his defense. Here was his defense. Look at verse 15. And Saul said, "They," blames the people here, and we're going to talk more about that next week, but he says, "They have brought them from the Amalekites." Talk about the animals. "For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen." Notice why they did it. He said, "Man, we did it to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Hey, Samuel. Yeah, I know we took some stuff. But we're going to take these animals. And these animals we got from Amalek, man, we're going to offer them in religious sacrifices to God. Yeah, he's right. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? That's an interesting... No, not that thought. Not the... This thought of... Wait a minute. Listen. Let's see. Does this have merit? We disobeyed God in order to worship Him. Do you think that thought has any merit? We disobeyed God, Samuel, so we could better worship God. We're going to offer these things in sacrifice to God. Well, let's see how Samuel responded to that. Look at verse 22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is what? Better than sacrifice. And to hearken, to listen to God, than the fat of rams." Fat of rams, speaking of that sacrifice. They'd offer up the fat, and it would ascend up to God. And when it was done the right way, it would be pleasing to God in the Old Testament. But he said, you know what? God's looking for obedience. He's looking for somebody who will listen. Obedience is what pleases God, pure and simple. God could not accept these people's worship in sacrificing these animals. Why? Because the satanic principle of rebellion was involved in it. If you look in, if you look at the PowerPoint screen, Proverbs 21, 2 and 3 says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than what? Sacrifice. Some people are under the delusion that the end justifies the means. Hey, as long as the end result's good, then it doesn't matter how you got there. Is that true or false? Well, if there's anything this chapter teaches us, it's that that's false. I mean, he didn't strip his kingdom from him for nothing. He did it because he rebelled. And just because the end result was going to be, we're going to sacrifice to God, that didn't matter. It was how they got to that altar of sacrifice. They got there through disobedience to God's word. We reason. And we say, God isn't that concerned with my disobedience, as long as some good may come out of it. Well, let this be a lesson in your handout. It says, you can serve God outwardly, but if within you is a rebellious heart, God cannot be pleased. You can serve God outwardly. You can usher. You can sing in the choir. You can teach a class. You can do an outreach event here at the church. You can work at Walk Through Bethlehem. You can do all these different things. But if you've got a rebellious heart, it means nothing to God. It's kind of like this. Give an illustration. Let's say that my wife, we got company coming over that night, and she makes this huge glass pitcher of homemade fresh-squeezed lemonade. And she says to one of my sons, she says, "Now listen, do not touch this glass pitcher. Number one, it's heavy. You may drop it on the tile and break it. But number two, this is for company tonight. Do not touch the lemonade. It's for company tonight." Well, a couple hours later, I come in from mowing the grass, and I'm hot, and I'm tired, and I'm sweating, and I come in, and I just kind of just collapse in the chair, you know. And here comes my son with a nice big tall glass of lemonade for Dad. And he says, "Dad, I brought you a nice tall glass of lemonade because I saw you were hot and you were tired and you're thirsty. Here, I got you a nice big tall glass of lemonade." And I think, that's sweet. Isn't that nice? Well, man, that was so sweet, son. Here, you have a sip too. "Thanks, Dad." Let me ask you something. When I get the full story, am I going to be pleased with that? No. Now, the result was good. I mean, he got Dad a nice tall glass of lemonade, and I was hot and thirsty. The result was good. But you see, he had to get to that result by disobeying and rebelling against a clear-cut command of what his mother told him to do. In your handout, it says, God desires obedience to His Word more than anything else. He wants obedience to His Word more than anything else. But there's a second reason why you need to keep yourselves from rebellion. And that's number two, because our rebellion always affects others. Our rebellion always affects others. The prophet Samuel, remember I told you he was the spiritual leader? Man, he loved King Saul. And when God told Samuel what had happened, I want you to notice the effect that it had on Samuel. Look down at verse number 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. God said to Samuel, For he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. Look at what it says. And it what? And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Man, it just tore the guy up. He just wept and cried on his face before God all night long. Saul maybe thought, well, who cares if I rebel? I mean, I'm the only one being affected. No, sir. His rebellion just tore Samuel's heart out. Guess who had to go tell Saul the news that his throne had been taken from him? Guess who had to go tell him? Samuel had to go tell him. Samuel had to give him that. How would you like to be the one to have to go tell the king, hey man, God's through with you. He's done. Samuel did what he had to do, but in your handout it said it absolutely broke Samuel's heart. He did what he had to do, but it absolutely broke his heart. Look down at verse 34. Look at the end of that chapter. After all this is over, look what it says. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Look at the first verse of chapter 16. Finally, after a period of time goes by, the Lord says unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Samuel couldn't get over it. Samuel couldn't get past it, Pastor Larry. He just kept grieving. He just kept mourning. He just kept weeping. And I wonder how many moms and dads have lied awake at night weeping over the rebellion of a son or a daughter who's rebelled against God and said, I'm going to do it my way. And I wonder how many kids have lied awake at night because dad's caught up in rebellion. And dad's come home drunk again. And dad's abused mom. I wonder how many kids have wept in their bed at night because mom has announced she's leaving dad. She's found somebody else. I'm done. I'm through. You see, our rebellion affects others. And every single one of you, you have influence over somebody else. You've got this circle of people who know you and who are impacted by the decisions that you make. And there are other sets of eyes that are watching you more than you maybe think. And I know I can speak from experience, and Denise can tell you, we've grieved over church members that have gotten caught up in rebellion. They've gotten caught up in sin. And we don't get mad. We really don't. It breaks our heart. And we've wept and we've cried. And I know how Samuel felt because I felt that way. But number three, the third reason why we need to keep ourselves from rebellion against God's Word is because our rebellion always catches up with us. And our rebellion always catches up with us. You know, sometimes we live under the false assumption we're getting away. You know, we're, quote, getting away with our rebellion. Mom and Dad didn't find out. I got away with it. Mom and Dad never found out. There are things I'm sure that you've done that mom and dad still don't know about, right? And we got away with it. My wife, she didn't find out. Preacher, he don't know. What he don't know won't hurt him. And Saul thought, man, I'm getting away with my rebellion. We kept the best of everything from Amalek, and we got away with it. And you know what Saul was doing? Saul was taking a little victory tour through Israel. In verse 12, the Bible talks about how he's taking himself a little victory tour. And he set him up a monument to himself in Carmel. And Samuel is trying to track the guy down to let him know what God said. And so Samuel finally catches up with Saul while Saul is taking his little victory tour. And it's so amazing to me that when Saul sees Samuel, look what he says in verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Man, hey, good to see you, Samuel. The Lord bless you, buddy. Notice how Saul, man, he's got that spiritual lingo down pat. The Lord bless you. I've done what God said. I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord. But then all of a sudden, he no more than gets that out of his mouth. And before Samuel can say anything, Samuel hears, now, my animal imitations aren't that good, but that's a cow. I got to tell you what it is because I'm not that great. And he hears, look at verse 14. And Samuel said, okay, right after he says, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul's rebellion found him out because Samuel began to hear animals making noises. And Saul says, I've done what God said. He says, then if you destroyed everything, what am I hearing? What am I hearing? You see, the Apostle Paul taught there's a law of sowing and reaping. And in your handout, if you'll turn it over there, Galatians 6, 7, and 8, Paul said, be not deceived. Don't be tricking yourself here. God is not mocked. You're not going to make a liar out of God. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You don't sow apples and get watermelons. You don't sow apple seeds and get watermelons. You cannot sow to your flesh and expect to never have it catch up with you. Saul's rebellious spirit eventually caught up with him, and it always does. You know, to me, a great illustration of that is this right here. You know what that is? It's our credit card. Now, do not try to read the numbers. In fact, you know what? This is being videoed. I don't want somebody zooming in and getting my credit card. But that's a credit card. Now, you know, the thing about a credit card is that you can go and you can, I want a new TV. And go get hand the credit card and whoop, they swipe it. They give you the TV and you go walk out of the store with it. No money exchanged hands. All they did was just swipe it. You think, wow, man, this is kind of fun. This seems like pleasure at no cost. I think I'll go to another store and try it again. So you go to another store and you buy you an iPod and they swipe. They're happy to swipe it, aren't they? They swipe it and off you go with your iPod. Oh, man, this is fun. Man, I could use some new furniture. You go to the furniture store, and they swipe it. They're happy to swipe it for you, and off you go with the furniture. Man, you think, wow, Pleasure at no cost. Now, you and I both know the bill comes later, but the bill does come. There will be a bill in the mailbox. And those folks want their money. And if you can't pay it, you go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt till finally you're bankrupt. Let me tell you something right now. Sin is like that credit card. You can sin and nothing happens. You think I got away with it. Let me tell you something. There's a price tag on it. The bill may come later. But the bill's going to come. And when you have a hard attitude of rebellion against God's word, it always ends up coming out. Judas Iscariot, 3 years he served with Christ, side by side, but it came out. And we can lie, and we can try and cover it up, but it always comes to the surface. And even if we could somehow cover up our heart of rebellion, our whole life, eventually it still catches up with us. You know when? When you stand before the Lord one day and give an account. Did you know God sees every single action? Look in your handout. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth how many of his goings? All of his goings. God sees everything you do, friend. God sees inside of our heart, and God sees if there's a rebellious spirit. Look at the next verse in your handout. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, notice not only does he see your actions, the Bible says he also searches your what? He says, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, I want you to look in your handout. I want you to flip it back over to the front page. Okay, can we do that? Before I give you the conclusion of this, look at this. There's basically three reasons why we need to keep ourselves from rebellion against God. Number one, it grieves the what? Heart of God. Number two, our rebellion always affects what? Samuel mourned. The third thing, our rebellion always what? It always catches up with us. He heard the animals and he knew Saul had rebelled. Number four, last thing. The fourth reason why you need to keep yourself from rebellion is because our rebellion carries serious consequences. I want to read verse 23. I got to hurry. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Samuel says to Saul, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent, it tore in two. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. He says, no, Saul, I will not. I've got to go. God has rejected you. I'm leaving. He goes to leave. Saul says, no, Samuel, come back. And he rips at his clothes, and they rip in two. And Samuel looks back with his clothes ripped, and he looks at Saul, and he says, uses that as an illustration. He says, just like you've ripped my clothes, God has ripped the kingdom from you. And he's given it to somebody else. You see, instead of obeying God's command, Saul did what he thought was right for him. And I get so sick of hearing this. People tell me that this stuff all the time. Well, I'm going to do what I think is right for me. Oh, I know what the Bible says, Pastor, but you know what? I think this is what's right for me. But what does the Bible say? Well, I know, but you know, this is just what feels right. Let me tell you something right now. When we are rebelling, it may look right, it may feel right, it may seem right, but it never is right. Amen. And it will always lead you into trouble when you rebel against God's word. It always will. And as your pastor, I'm telling you because I love you. If you look in your handout, Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seems so right. But the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. We cannot disobey and disregard and rebel against God's, you know, commands and then be naive enough to think that there aren't going to be any consequences. Now, why did Saul lose his throne in this chapter? Well, he couldn't blame his friends. He couldn't blame the government leaders. He couldn't blame his family members. The reason why Saul lost his throne, well, the reason was staring at him in the mirror. And I wonder, are there actions in your life that you know aren't right and that are in absolute rebellion against God's commands? Well, then the thing to do is, like I said earlier, is you need to turn to God. Humble yourself. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not even outwardly rebelling yet. But there's some heart attitudes of rebellion in you. Remember, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And rebellion is really a hard issue. And then it comes out in your actions. But it starts right here. Remember, stubbornness? I want my way. And maybe you're here today. Remember what I told you at the beginning? Go back to that. Can you go back real quick, Debbie, to the stop sign? And you remember what we said about the stop sign? You know, you go barreling through enough stop signs, it's going to catch up with you. And maybe you're here today and you've kind of just been barreling through God's stop signs. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. When you go barreling through stop signs, it's like we talked about. It not only affects you, it's probably going to end up affecting somebody else too. And it's going to carry some serious consequences. And you know what? It's going to catch up with you. You may get through one stop sign and think, well, that was fine. Nothing happened. You get through another one and another one and another one. But pretty soon it catches up with you. Maybe you're here today and you've been barreling through God's stop signs in your life. Well, you can choose to do that. But there are serious consequences. So the answer then is, let me turn to God. Let me just say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. And let me trust His Word and let me believe it. Because why does He give you commands in the Bible? Why are they there? Let me ask you something. Does God give you commands to spoil all your fun? No. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. It's like that credit card. When the bill comes due, it's not as much fun. When you're swiping away, it's fun. But then the bill comes due. No, in your handout's a great verse, and I'm going to end with this. 1 John 5:3. Look at it. It's at the bottom of your handout. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now look what it says. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not for your harm. They're for your good. Let's do this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I hope that this story of King Saul has been a help to you today. I hope it's been a blessing. And with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, as we said earlier, when we come to church, we really ought to want God to change us and to do something in us.